You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It is indeed, and this morning in the studio we've got Sharpa Richter from the Business School. She's a Senior Lecturer in Marketing here at the University of Auckland. Kia ora Sharpa, how are you this morning?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's lovely to have you up here talking about really interesting research into the metaverse.
Yes.
So we're going fully online today. We're talking about what is the metaverse, actually? I'm sure most people have heard it at least,
yeah.
But what is this kind of space that we're exploring at the moment?
Yeah, so the metaverse is actually not as new as everyone thinks. So the term or the idea of it was introduced by a fiction writer, Neal Stephenson, who wrote a novel called Snow Crash back in 1992.
Mm.
And he sort of envisaged this world where, you know, people could be avatars and walk from one world to the other and, you know, wear avatar-like clothes and interact completely virtually. And I guess the technology just wasn't there at that time to really, visualize it and to make it come to life. And then it really took off in 2021 when Mark Zuckerberg renamed Facebook to Meta and it was on.
Yeah.
And now
we all watched that video of him walking through the wall. You know, his
exactly.
I will not find that, never not find that video hilarious. But, you know, it is this proof of concept or something that has been a long time in the consciousness. But it's really taken off now. Is it successful? What's happening with it at the moment? Do people use it?
Well, that's a really good question. I think when Meta came along, it was like this big technology hype.
Mm.
And Gartner has a hype cycle for a lot of emerging technology. And if we sort of plot how the metaverse has been doing according to the hype cycle, we can see that, you know, there was a big technology trigger, Meta, and
yep.
It was going to be the next big thing. And then there was a big hype about it.
Mm.
And now we're kind of in a trough of disillusionment,
okay.
Is what it's called, where,
yep.
You know, like the reality of what the metaverse is and what it could be is a little bit far apart.
Mm.
So people are, you know, like when you look at Google Trends, for example, to see, you know, if metaverse is even being searched for anymore, it's really not.
Interesting.
It's really died down. The hype has really died down. But if we look at the hype cycle, it will pick up again.
So what is the hype cycle? What is that as a way of understanding how things like this in a marketing space kind of catch people's attention?
Yeah, so it was introduced by Gartner, which is an American firm. It's an advisory on information technology, and in 1995, I think, and they really tried to see, you know, the evolution of technologies.
Okay.
So when a technology is introduced, it follows a very similar pattern.
Mm.
Where there is, you know, there's a trigger point, it's thrown out in the market, and then people are really excited about it, and then they realize it doesn't actually do what they said it was going to do, and then they have a slope of enlightenment, where they start going, okay, well, it's not quite, but it is still pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it reaches a plateau where it just becomes part of our everyday life.
That's so interesting. And so we're not quite there yet with the metaverse, but it is forecast.
Yeah, and I think the reason that it's not to be dismissed is because there's a lot of underlying technologies to the metaverse that would make it work.
Mm.
Things like artificial intelligence and augmented reality, virtual reality, blockchain. And all of these technologies are evolving at a rapid, rapid pace.
Yeah.
So when they all come together in a cohesive manner, then, you know, we might be able to see the metaverse.
Because that's interesting, because right now it feels like the kind of temperature around the metaverse is it's a bit cringe. Mark Zuckerberg is a little bit cringe, and he's kind of made like weird Wii sports for people to play, you know. But the hype, as you say, was so much that this is going to be this whole new frontier of how we interact with people and how we move forward in the world. Where does Gen Z fit into this? Because that's part of your research as well, is looking at this specific generation who's just absolutely born into the internet.
Absolutely. And I think Gen Z will play a big role in bringing up the slope of enlightenment, because as organizations and brands find a way to connect with Gen Z on the metaverse, and you know, one of the best examples of that is Nike Land. So, or Nike Land, depending on how you want to pronounce it. But they partnered with Roblox, which is a really, really popular gaming platform for Gen Zs. And they brought to life Nike Land, which is a, you know, it's a protoverse, I guess, because it is a place where you can create your virtual avatar, and then you can dress your virtual avatar, and depending on how you dress it or what shoes or what kicks you put on, you can jump higher and you can run faster. And, you know, it's kind of giving the generation that don't have personal buying power a little bit of autonomy and a little bit of like, hey, mom and dad, you know, like there's this new, these new kicks on, like they, you know, what if I could buy them? And if you can't buy them in real life, maybe you can buy an NFT version of it, you know, like that kind of thing. So I think Nike have done a really good job of trying to leverage the metaverse. And, you know, because they've partnered with Roblox, then the avatar, the how you dress the avatar in Nike Land, you can then wear that to other lands in Roblox.
So you're like a little Roblox influencer.
Yeah, exactly.
Walking around in your little Roblox Nikes.
Yeah, absolutely. and so that's, you know, I think that's one of the more successful stories. And of course, where the idea of the metaverse really falls over is this idea of interoperability, right? Because how Neil Stephenson originally envisaged it was that you could create an avatar and then walk from Roblox to Decentraland to, you know, Sandbox. So, but you can't. Because they all run on completely different technologies. And so Roblox has its own proprietary technology, whereas Decentraland runs on Ethereum, which is blockchain.
Right.
So until they can talk to each other, we're not going to have interoperability, which is one of the main things that we need for the metaverse to come to life.
So fascinating. You're probably too far out to kind of have an idea of like an actual timeline, but what is there projections around this? Like, when will we see that connectivity kind of kick off?
Yeah, that's a really difficult question to answer, because brands and organizations that run these platforms, they're really protective and you know, and they should be, like data privacy and like it's hard to say, are they ever going to work together? And I think we need to really maybe envisage it in a different way. Maybe it's not going to be about brands talking to each other, or are these platforms talking to each other? Maybe that's not how interoperability is going to work, and maybe there'll be another way that we can make the metaverse come to life. What that way is, well, that's what I researched, so I don't know.
It sounds absolutely fascinating. Thank you for sort of introducing it to us this morning. Sharpa Richter, Senior Lecturer in Marketing at the Business School here at the University of Auckland. Thank you for coming in, and
have a
great rest of your Tuesday.
Oh, thanks.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.